This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
All right, plenty more going on in Patriots Nation, though we are in the early throes of the offseason just after Super Bowl 59, looking towards Super Bowl 60 and the 2025 season, which is a little over 7 months away. Yes, I know we're all supposed to take a vacation or a break, chillax, and get football off the mind, but there is no methadone for Patriots fandom, which is why we are here on the Six Rings pod. All right, Mego, so ESPN's kind of doing their part to keep the nonstop 24/7, 365 machine of football churning and burning. Adam Schefter put out a list of the five most interesting teams in NFL free agency in the 2025 offseason. And wouldn't you know it, coming in, number one, the Bengals. I don't disagree there. Two, the Frownies of Cleveland. Three, the Saints. I don't know about that one, but he talks about...
That was weird.
Yeah, Kellen Moore being the new coach and whatnot, like they got a, like they're way over the cap, which is interesting, whereas the Pats are way under the cap. Five would be your New York Jets, trailing number four, the New England Patriots. And of course, they write making the Patriots coaching job more appealing to Vrabel was the fact that the team had a league high $110 million in available salary cap space. New England has the financial liberty to upgrade its roster however it sees fit, which is nice tying back into what we were talking about post-Super Bowl 59 with the Eagles' stout roster on both sides of the ball. Whether it's having the chance to pay T. Higgins $30 million a year, upgrading an offensive line, that will be addressed. Got to get a standout receiver for Drake May, blah, 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 blah.
We know the needs.
We know all those needs. Thank you very much, Mr. Schefter. Agree or disagree how that's going?
Well, I would have them at number two because I think it just is a little bit more like poetic balance if you're making this list that the Bengals are number one because they have all the players that everybody wants. And they're coming off of missing the playoffs, having such a talented roster. So that is obviously really intriguing, seeing if Joe Burrow gets disgruntled this season, should he remain healthy and they're kind of in the same spot and they don't pay one of these guys, Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, whoever it is. And then number two should be the Patriots because they have all the money. So you basically have the people who may be selling in the Bengals and the people who are trying to buy in the Patriots. Mm-hmm. I think it's otherwise like it just seems like a nice way of saying teams that are a mess. It's kind of like other than the Giants, it's like who are the messiest teams right now? The Saints have Kellen Moore, but they're way over the cap and they don't have their quarterback situation settled. So what are they going to do? The Jets are getting rid of Aaron Rodgers and they're
Could they
mess.
Move on from Garrett Wilson and will they trade for Olave?
Yeah.
As has been speculated.
Otherwise,
Jets have no quarterback, Mega. What the hell is Aaron Glenn going
to
do?
And the Browns kind of the same exact thing. So it's like the other three teams to me are just like, here are some very messy teams. It's interesting to watch them wait around in their mess. And then the top two teams, I think have them. It's kind of nicer for the Patriots. Like, at least you have a direction where you have something that people want, your money,
right.
You know,
and
as long as you might have to overpay, you might have to pay what our friend Tommy Curran calls the suck tax,
That's
but at
fine.
Least you have something that people want. And you have a quarterback, which is something that those other three teams really are trying to figure out still.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I mean, that's the building point. Mike Vrabel 110% came here because of the $110 million and because he knew the quarterback situation was solved. That was not an issue going forward. You have a talented, mobile, highly intelligent, good processor of a quarterback who we believe is only going to get better with the tutelage and grooming that's going to come from Josh McDaniels, who spent time in the offseason preparing for such an opportunity, studying mobile quarterbacks and more diverse college offensive game plans. That's going to, all these things are pointing towards steady, continual improvement for the Patriots as well. I agree. I think they are one of the five most interesting teams. Yet on the same day, Mego, ESPN came out with their far too early 2025 season power rankings. And where do you think the New England Patriots finished? Spoiler alert. It is a famous, it is a famous, no, spoiler alert, Mego knows, but to the audience, for the audience, it is a, if anyone hasn't seen it and you guys want to guess in the comments here, it is a number of a famous cornerback on the New England Patriots. No, it's the number of many famous cornerbacks. That's right. 24th overall. So what do you think? Is that a fair ranking for the Patriots going forward to have moved up from like 30th to 24th thus far?
It's kind of a big jump. I know that 24 sounds like you're still very low. Yeah. You're in the bottom third of the league, and that sucks considering where you were 6 years ago. But I think it's the kind of, when you said before, this gradual improvement. It's almost like responsible improvement, right? Because if you go somewhere like the Texans and you make this dramatic improvement over 1 year, or the Commanders, you make this dramatic improvement over 1 year, some of that can be smoke and mirrors. Some of that can be you got lucky in a lot of these games, and then all of a sudden you have these expectations of you're going to be a 10-plus win team going forward. The clock starts now. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that I wouldn't be thrilled to see the Patriots go out and have a 10-win season, but I think that feels right, and it's like the right amount of optimism for the team. You have a new coach who has a very clear point of view. You just mm-hmm. saw a defensively powerful team take down Mahomes in the Super Bowl, and you have a lot of money to spend, as we were just talking about. So it really comes down to this offseason. Are you going to be able to execute much better than you did last offseason, where it was way too quiet? You didn't get a single playmaker in, and you really didn't seem to know what direction you were going in at quarterback in the draft. Drake May falls in your lap. You mm-hmm. still don't know what you're going to do with that kid once you get into training camp. Like, you're not ready to declare him the starter or anything like that. I just think that even the semblance of organization and direction that you have going into this offseason deserves that much movement from, let's say, they were at 31 up to 24.
Mm-hmm. I think right now what you're basically seeing, this is a coaching bump. This is a coach and coordinator bump, because the roster has not changed very much at all. I mean, they've made a move so far. They just extended Jeremiah Farms on a 2-year deal, which is good, because when the defensive line started showing some holes, he stepped up. You know, it's the Farmses and Equaleses of the world that have sort of held their ground. There's nothing spectacular about him, but you need some base level.
I mean, he's a depth piece, you know,
that's
my feeling about this roster. Like, that's a nice move, but Jeremiah mm-hmm. Farms was a guy who couldn't make the team 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so you need to get back to, this is not to knock him, because I'm sure he's improved over those 3 years, mm-hmm. but that has to be a depth piece signing. Elliot Wolf can't look at that and say, this is our Chukwuma Okorafor, that side of the ball.
Yeah, what our answer is to Jalen Carter?
Who they finally released, by the way.
Yeah, thank God. The Chukwuma Okorafor era. Where were you when it started and ended? The same place, in a chair wondering how the hell he was the answer to left tackle last year. No, Jeremiah Farms, it's a fine rotational depth piece. You need mm-hmm. guys like that to set a baseline for your defense. What I would like to see the Patriots do, Mego, and we can now get into some early draft versus trade target action. I want to go with the plan of sign one impact defensive player that can pressure the pocket in the in free agency. I know Josh Sweat, he's going to cost a lot, as would some other rushers as well. I'm not saying he is the answer or be all, but I wouldn't mind seeing them pursue someone like him. And at number four, look, I was watching this morning on Get Up, Field Yates's first mock is out. Now, you can't really read it unless you have an ESPN Plus. It's because it's behind that infernal Disney paywall. But we're happy to share with you that Field Yates had Abdul Carter going second overall. Number one was going to be Travis Hunter. He thought number two would be Abdul Carter. So the Pats aren't going to get the guy that most of us were hoping they would get thanks to that unnecessary win against the freaking Buffalo Bills in January. Thanks a lot, Gerard Mayo. So, in my estimation, the smartest thing you do is just, again, take a guy that I call BPA, best player available. Just set your go turn on Yahoo Auto Draft, go BPA, grab Mason Graham. Tell me if Christian Barmore, the defensive tackle out of Michigan, for those who may not know, tell me how, if Christian Barmore is well enough to play again and gets in a full proper offseason, then you fold in the best defensive lineman from the draft available in college last year, how that doesn't sort of like tune the Philadelphia Eagles wheels, if you will, onto the Patriots draft dial. I think that's the smartest thing you can do as opposed to reaching for need or overthinking the matter.
Yeah. When you get into the draft, I think it's still early to try to guess how it's going to take shape in those first several picks. Mm-hmm. But because of the way that the talent and the positions are dispersed in this draft and the lack of blue chip quarterbacks, I'm saying in quotations, I look at it and I do wonder if the Patriots are even going to have the ability to trade out in a meaningful way from that number four spot. I think it's going to be difficult to find takers lower in the draft who are looking for quarterback to jump up to that spot and for you to get enough in return to justify making those tweaks. So I think you're right. I think if you're looking at best player available, you have so many areas of need on your roster that that's an easy place for you to sit, right? Like you can take whoever's sitting there, if it's a receiver, if it's an offensive tackle who's actually going to play tackle and not play guard, if it's a defensive lineman, if it's Abdul Carter, if he falls to four, like any of those, you can say that any of them are the right answer because you sit in a place of desperation. And the only way that it could be a wrong answer is if you trade out, trade back, don't get enough in return, and then land yourself in kind of a Jalen Polk situation instead of Ladd McConkey. And it would be much more costly because you'd be trading out of number four, which is in a shallow draft where you can get actual blue chip talent.
Yeah, see, the problem with where the Pats sit and who's behind them with two quarterbacks that people would be interested in, you know, we're getting all sorts of comments. Our pal Jeff Stenberg, who's watching live on YouTube, he's pushing for Tet McMillan at number four. Then you've got, let's say we got watching live on YouTube right now, six-time champ, trade down from four for a first next year and a second, perhaps you can get from someone and draft Ashton Jeanty. Look, if someone told me that he would be our Jahmyr Gibbs and we could get that level or Jahmyr Gibbs adjacent productivity, I'd be all for it. But again, I think Vrabel is going to default to BPA or trench stud on either side of the ball because you have to build it out. That's why Harbaugh wins where he goes. And I believe Vrabel gives off similar vibes as well. I agree. Also, there just don't seem to be that many tackles worth a top 10 pick. There's not a lot of players that seem like top 10 picks in many other drafts. And so this is what I was going to get to as far as the quarterback goes and being able to, like, unless somebody else behind the Raiders falls in love with, let's say, Shedeur Sanders, because I think Cam Ward goes first, then the Raiders are just going to sit there until six and take Shedeur Sanders. So someone else behind the Raiders is going to have to choose chaos and want to trade up with the Patriots, thereby incentivizing, like, let's say it's New Orleans at nine. Would it be the Jets at seven? And would they want to trade with the Patriots because Aaron Glenn doesn't have a quarterback? And would he like to have Shedeur Sanders as a star in New York? That would make a lot of sense. And I bet Jetropolitans fans would get behind it. These are the things we need to have happen, Mego, to incentivize Tom Brady to go, you know what? Let me just pick up the phone and call Vrabel and be like, what's it going to take to get me to swap places with you so I can go from six to four, get Shedeur, you go back to six, you still get who you want, and, you know, I'll give you some extra picks along the way. That's a best case scenario for me right now, looking long view at the draft.
And that's why it kind of just in a draft like this, like many years, you would look at having the number four pick and say, how different is that than having the number one overall going back to the final game of the Patriots season and saying, you still have a top five pick. Like, you know, don't twist yourself into a pretzel and get all upset about it. But the way that this draft is shaping out, it just doesn't give you the power to have the freedom to move around and use that chip the way that it would have last year. Or the way that it would have if you had the number one pick overall, which feels obvious, but I hear people arguing the other side of like, it's 1-4, it's not that big of a difference. When you're as desperate on your roster as the Patriots are and trying to get back to 8 wins, we're not talking about trying to get back to the playoffs.
9 wins, like that's all I want for Christmas. That's all I want.
Trying to dig yourself out of this hole, like it does make a difference. And so that's where you sit.
Now, I believe you posted a column on Monday, the day after the Super Bowl at WEI.com, about some possible trade targets. Do you have a couple that you would just like to float?
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts. What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Put out there as we continue to chum the waters of optimism for Pats fans looking to see this roster be overhauled for the better.
Yes, so I talked about three different trade targets because these are the guys who are generating a lot of chatter around the league. Deebo Samuel right before the Super Bowl. It comes out that the 49ers are exploring trades for him. According to Jacina Anderson last year, that's an exact trade that the Patriots were exploring with the Niners last year, going for Deebo Samuel. They end up holding on to him another year. So that's a piece that could be out there. If you want to revisit that, try to execute a trade this time.
How much are we thinking? A third, maybe? A fourth?
I don't know that I would go as high of a third because so the other two names are, of course, Cooper Kupp and Myles Garrett.
Yeah.
One of those I think is much more attainable than the other. And some people think one of those might actually be cut. So how much draft capital are you going to give up?
Cooper Kupp getting cut. Oh, nightmare level scenario, because then he can choose wherever he wants to go. Not that he wouldn't have a say now. I'm concerned the Chiefs are going to say, no, we need somebody like that. Or Buffalo is going to swoop in and get him because he'll be like, well, I probably have a better chance of getting a Super Bowl or back to a high level of the playoffs with these guys as opposed to New England. But man, he would look so good in a Pats uniform.
Yeah. So I'd say, first of all, I do think that the Patriots should be extremely aggressive in the trade market. I think once we actually get into free agency, it's going to be as disappointing as it was last year and it has been in previous years, excluding 2021. That was a special case. And even then, you went out and you spread a lot of money around and you got some return on it, right? You got like a one-season bump from that and you got Matthew Judon. But I think you should be aggressive in the trade market, looking at someone like Cooper Kupp, who I think is the best fit to bring into the Patriots. And I would extend myself to one of those thirds. Deebo is really interesting because having Josh McDaniels back, Deebo describes himself as a wide back, which is, you know, he can do all these different things. And I think that Josh would have a field day, you know, drawing up these trick plays and these kind of strange hybrid roles for him that maybe would get him going above some of the sub 1,000 receiving yard seasons that he's had the last couple of years. Like, people I feel are lower on Debo than they are on Cooper Kupp for some reason. They're low on both. But one of those two guys, I think if you come up with one of them, that's a good aggressive piece that you got in the trade market. Myles Garrett, I think, is lust-worthy from a football perspective.
For sure.
And as we've talked about, would love to see him reunited with Mike Vrabel after he spent last season in Cleveland. And maybe there would be something to grease the wheels with that because of Vrabel's good relationship with Cleveland. I'm just not even sure that Cleveland, that he's going to be able to like blow his way out of Cleveland. You know, like he probably clearly not. Wants to go. He's telling everybody who will listen that he wants to trade. I think Cleveland's GM looks at that and says, we're not getting rid of you. You're our best player. Why would we part with you? We're trying to figure, we're not giving up talent right now. We're trying to get talent.
I think the fear, Mego, as far as it goes with Debo, like 2 years ago, or just in general, I love everything about him. Came out in the same draft as A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown is now firmly entrenched in the prime of his career, just had a dominant Super Bowl, all-pro receiver. He's not shaken loose considering that he was the Gatorade bath giver at the end of Super Bowl 59 from Filthy anytime soon. Whereas San Francisco, they now overpaid for Ayuk. They saw Pierce all evolve. Juwan Jennings is excellent. And they still have Kittle. They probably don't need Debo at this point. If we knew that Debo could find a way, and I saw the receiver series, I fell in love with his personality. I love his versatility and that he calls himself a wide back and could be a multifunction offensive productivity hyphenate in the Pats offense led by McDaniels. Sign me up, please. Yes and thank you. And twice on every day that ends in AY. I'm just worried there's way too much tread taken off the tires with him. Too many big hits, slowing down. And that he's teeing off on the 12th hole, of the 18 holes of his NFL career. What would he be really, really worth? And, you know, is that worth significant investment from a team that needs such roster improvement?
And if you want to, like, Cooper Kupp is my preference there. I know that he's going to be a higher price tag, both on what you're paying AAV when he's on your roster, even though the Rams said that they would eat a piece of that, his signing bonus. And what you'd have to give up in draft capital, most likely. But Debo is a little bit more of the Filene's basement version here, where I think he's like $17.5 million a year, which is so much less than you're going to have to pay for a receiver. If you go get one like T. Higgins, you're going to be way north of that. Like, you could be almost $10 million per year north of that. Anybody that you'd bring in, you're going to pay more than that. So this would be like almost, I think, a little bit more of a complimentary piece. And you're right. I don't know if that's what they really want in their receiver room when they have gone years at this point without a true X receiver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to get someone to work the outside, which is why a lot of people are still in on DK Metcalf if they possibly decide to uncouple from him or offload him for probably a second or third round pick from Seattle as well. There are some people that say that in our chat, Mego, that the Patriots can ill afford, given how much work the roster needs, to part with that much draft capital. But I agree with you. If you can target either the pass rusher that's going to lead the charge in the rebuild on defense, or the guy on the outside that'll teach the wide receiving core how to do business going forward and really give Drake May a top flight target, I would be aggressive as well. And I'm also with our pal Andrew Dickinson, who's watching overseas in London with the wide world of UK Patriotsdom. Just tell me where the next Rex Burkhead is.
Oh, because Rex Burkhead is...
Those are the guys that make my Patriots offense roll.
He's one of one. Good luck finding that. There are a couple of wide receivers that are going to be at least up in free agency that are free agents. Mm-hmm. Again, it's so early. There's some big names there that I wrote about earlier in the season. The issue with free agency is like, how many of these guys are going to get tagged? How many of these guys are just going to get retained? I think sometimes, especially when you look at the way that running back as a position has kind of been elevated over the last season with teams like Detroit and the Bills, and then of course you have your special cases of Saquon and the Ravens, like with Derrick Henry. Those two are, I think, are in a different tier. But teams might be looking at what they have on their roster and saying, well, if we beef up our line here, You know, we're not going to give up this guy. We actually see that, as to use your phrase, Fitzy, like there is a lot more tread on the tires than maybe we expected with running backs.
We'll see. If you agree or disagree with any of our comments, our wish list priorities are more for the Patriots offseason, as we are just a little bit of a month underway, just a little bit more. It's about a month away until free agency, the legal tampering. But of course, there's the combine and then that
exactly yesterday, 1 month.
Right. And then, of course, but it all starts a week earlier at the combine. There's a lot of harumph-harumph, some elbow rubbing, some martini talk, steaks and suds. And that's where it really all begins. So we'll keep you up to date on all the latest and greatest with all the news, notes, rumblings, and bumblings in Patriots Nation. If you want to pick her brain for inside analysis or read her fabulous columns, make sure you check out at @Megan_Ottolini. And whether I'm here on Six Rings, working the post game, or sometimes on that WEEI afternoon show, holler at your boy, Nick Fitzy Stevens at Fitzy GFY. Mego, great work as always. It's a pleasure having you as the best value add possible here in the wide world of Six Rings. We will be talking to you guys soon. Thanks for tuning in. Appreciate you guys watching live or, of course, subscribing on Spotify, Apple Pods, the Odyssey app, or wherever awesome football talk is found. Until next time, Nick Fitzy Stevens and Megan Ottolini saying thanks for listening to Six Rings and Football Things. Good day. God bless. And as always, go Pats.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.